Raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. But suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them lies the land, as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through the defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders.
Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. Hey, Miss Tammy, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Trust the plan, everybody. Trust the plan. I love that Joel chapter 2 where it talks about, you know, the Lord is at the head of the column. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads us with a shout. And whatever it says, that makes me think of it. He leads us with a trump. Anyway, I hope you guys are having a great day. Don't forget that on the Monday night is actually the beginning of the Feast of Trump. Yep. Mm. And it's, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the feast. You know, most of you are who've been with me a while. But the Feast of Trumpets is about really a battle cry to charge, you know, and it really does feel like that. It really does feel like that. We've got so much going on. And just trust the plan. I'm Melissa Redpill, for those of you who are new. I look at the current events in the light of God's Word. This is literally biblical. It's not just monumental and huge. It is literally biblical. This is biblical times, as 17 told us. And so I started to look into that. And I've been talking to some just different patriots. I'm like, you know, really listen, because I know what I'm talking about. I really do. I'm just, you know, just because of the 40 years or so, you know, I just had my birthday. September 8th was my birthday in the Lord. And it was right at 40, now 41 years, that I really gave my life to the Lord. You know, when I was little, whatever I did, but I really, you know, started studying in earnest at that point. And so there's just a great blessing of just time spent in the Word. And so I'm just very, very thankful that I was able to, really piece together what's happening in this day, because it's not what we were told. If you want to find out the truth about that, go over here to Melissa Redpill and check out the End Times page. It will be very, very happy news for you. It's the end times for them, Tammy Lizzie, when I say this. The end times for them and a thousand years of peace for us. That's where we're headed. I've written bestseller books. This one right here is Decoding the Book of the Revelation. Definitely check into that. And also, I've got today we're doing our study on Micah, the second one, on major clues from minor prophets. And then we're doing, I also have the book about all this is biblical, 17 Bible stories about how we are ending. This is the Lord told us, gave us a roadmap of all that we are experiencing in this day. So we're going to pray and we're going to get started. And don't forget, well, you can. Let's go ahead and hit that like button, please. Thank you always for doing that for me, everybody, and helping to get the wonderful truth about end times out for everyone. Like, share, and subscribe. Make sure your bell is rung. Thank you so much, Lord. We praise you that you are the King of the world. Nothing can stop what is coming, because you are the ruler of this world. We are so excited. We're living in the day where you will take your throne. and you will rule this earth in this golden age. And we know the enemy knows they have very little time, and they are shrieking. They're being exposed, and the ones we're at the end of it. We see that very, very clearly. This is the end times for them, and they are freaking out. But we're comfy, and we're cozy, and we're trusting you and trusting your plan. And thank you for Micah and all the minor prophets, how they told us about this day. We just didn't see it because we were still sleeping, but now we're not. We're awake. Thank you for everyone on the battalion. Be with us as we study. Help us to understand your word, and really to help others to understand the good news of the kingdom, that your kingdom is coming. Your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Can't even wait. And we thank you for the great awakening that is happening right now. Even it seems like a mass start awakening. So many people turning to the Lord right now over this very tragic event. But you do work all things together for good. And this is, many people are awakening at this moment. I thank you for that. Bless them, strengthen them, guide them, touch their hearts, and just encourage them, help them to know that you are with them and you are real, and you are going to see us all through to these beautiful, glorious, bright, amazing days. We pray this in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. All right. Amen. All right. All right. Let's go. All right. So like I said, we are doing the major clues from Minor Prophets. This is the table of contents. We are on chapter 12. I know it says in the title of this video, number 13, but it's because we had to do this one in 2 weeks. I just felt like we needed to kind of give us a little more time so we didn't rush too much. Next week when we start Zechariah, that may take 4 weeks. I don't know, maybe more, because Zechariah is something else. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that later. All right, so if you want to go back and see the first one, it's this one right here. We'll see their fall. I will execute vengeance. How about that for a title? This is no doubt. The vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He is going to wreak vengeance on them. And of course, today's is called Do Justice, from that famous passage that we all know that says, what have I asked you to do, O man, but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? And that's in this passage right here in Micah. That might be the only verse you've ever heard from Micah, probably so. Not now, because I'm going to show you all about it. And hopefully you guys have done your homework. Everybody done your homework? Everybody done it? All right, so let's get started. I do want to go back through, just real super quick, go back through kind of a summary of where we were, how far we came. First of all, remember, whenever you read the Minor Prophets, remember that they have dual fulfillment, D-U-A-L, dual for fulfillment. And so basically when you look at each of these, you know, they're telling the people, like in this case, what's going on, and that the Israelites were being cast out of their land because they had gotten involved with Baal worship. And so he's very, very sad about that. Lamentations, Jeremiah's doing the same thing. He's lamenting this terrible day that is because of their sins. They had to be punished. But the Lord is doing it for good, as we know from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. A lot of people don't realize that verse is because they were being cast out of their land. And so he's like, don't be afraid. Even though things are really tough right now, know that I'm doing this for your good. I'm not doing this because to destroy you, right? So, because we are his people, we are his children. All right, so he's doing the same thing. Micah is doing the same thing. He's lamenting and he's wailing because the people are being cast out of the land. Okay, so we look at that. And so the dual fulfillment is that the evildoers right now are being cast out. They will be cast out. They are the only ones, anyone who's doing Baal worship are going to be cast out. And so basically that's, it was fulfilled then. The ones who did Baal worship had to be cast out then, and they will be cast out now. But the difference is there's so few, comparatively speaking, and they'll be cast into the abyss. All right. So then he talks about how all the evil that they do, they seize all the houses, all this. They have false preachers, false prophets. Again, we've seen that same thing. Even this week, we've seen people, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of false teachers and a lot of false, you know, prophets out there, whether it's in the media, lots of different things, even a lot of influencers. Be very careful out there, people who you're following, as we were told by you. All right, so it's also talking about here, you know, even in the middle of all the punishment, he was reminding them of this beautiful day that, would come when they would be, would they be set free. And so that's where we are on the timeline of history. That's the good news for us on Micah, that we're finally there on the timeline. All right, so the other thing we talked about here in Micah 3, it was talking about, you know, the evil that they do. I'm not going to go into it, but, you know, it says here they peel off their skin and break their bones and chop them in pieces for the pot. Okay, so I thought that was just a lot of imagery, but it was real. We didn't realize that these people are absolutely evil because demons dwell within them. All right, so then we talked about what that the Lord promised would happen to them, all the bribes that they would take, that they would get plowed up like a field, they'd be turned into rubble. So that's what's going to happen now to the New World Order. Micah 4 is my favorite chapter in the book of Micah because it's talking about the beautiful days of the millennial kingdom, the golden age. And he's talking about, of course, the famous passage that I repeat so many times. They'll beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not rise, lift up sword against nation, and neither will they learn war anymore. Every man will sit under his vine and under his own fig tree. No one will make them afraid, for the mouth of Yahweh of armies has spoken. So that's the beautiful bright days. He always keeps us in our minds. Now, the last thing we talked about was this beautiful sign called the woman in labor. 18 times it talks about the woman in labor, and Jesus called it the sign of the Son of Man, and it actually appeared September 23rd, 2017. I've talked about it many times. It's delineated in Revelation 12, 1 and 2. That's it right there, and as soon as we saw that sign, 17 started posting, and we started to awaken all of the ones he has chosen, and you are the ones he has chosen to be his digital soldiers in this day. So pinch yourself right now and say, you know, thank you, Lord, right? What an honor. What an honor it is. All right, so then this was, he says in Micah 4, 9 through 10, why do you cry aloud? Why is there no king? Don't you have a king in you? Has your counselors perished? The pains have taken hold of you as a woman in travail or woman in labor? Be in pain and labor to give birth, daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail, for now you'll go out of the city. So again, this is where we've been. We've all been in labor pains for the kingdom to be birthed on this earth. And I go into, you know, they thought that was a sign for them. That's why they had Beyonce act this out in the Grammys. I go into this a lot more detail in the book, End Times and A Thousand Years of Peace. I go into a lot more detail. But this is, you know, I do want to make sure everybody sees that this is talked about, you know, in the many, many times in the Old Testament. The woman, but it calls it the woman in labor. Like, didn't I just read that? Yeah, 18 times. Okay, so then the other thing, you might not notice it unless you're reading all the minor prophets back to back. All right, then the last thing it says is that we will, the Lord will give us, as it says here in verse 13 of Micah 4, he'll give us iron, horns of iron and hooves of bronze. And that's what, no doubt, everybody on here could agree and testify. The Lord has given you, makes you tough as steel, tough as iron, tough as it is bronze. You're not going to stop. You're not going to quit. You're not going to give up. You're going to keep going because it's the Lord who's given this to you. He says, arise and thresh. Threshing is where you take the barley, like I have behind me, the Omer, and you beat it till the grain comes out. So we're basically beating them to get them out of this earth. And remember how our Lord Jesus said that the chaff will be blown away, right? That's what's great. Okay, so I think that's where we got to. We finished number 11, and the very first question is going to actually bring up about this sign of the Son of Man that we saw September 23rd, 2017. And you're going to really like what it says about that. So, we ready, Miss Tammy?
I am.
Okay, let's do it. Number 12.
Okay. Micah chapter 5 is about the final battle of Armageddon that we are fighting right now. What does Micah 5:3-8 clearly state will happen? Now you shall gather yourselves in troops, daughters of troops. He has laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, being small among the clans of Judah, out of you one will come out to me who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings out are from ancient times. Therefore he will abandon them until the time that she who is in labor gives birth.
What do you think about that? Now, if you were just reading that, you know, we might think, what is he talking about? Until the time she who is in labor gives birth. Well, we know it's about this beautiful sign, much like the Bethlehem star. The Lord has given us a sign in this day, a beautiful star sign. This is the sign for our day, much like, you know, the people in Jesus, on his first advent, they had the Bethlehem star, and the wise men saw that sign. They knew that sign was indicating the birth of the Lord Jesus. Didn't know his name at that point, but anyway, and so they got on their camels and rode for months. And sure as the world, they were right. Same thing for us. The Lord has given us this sign. He's helped us to understand what this is about, and that we realize this is the sign that this is the end for them. There's no doubt this is the Battle of Armageddon, because we've got, you know, no one else can put that sign in the heavens. John wrote this down. He made all the details about this beautiful sign 2,000 years ago. Who but the Lord could make that happen in the heavens? Nobody. But he says, very interesting, therefore he'll abandon them. Sounds like, you know, leaving us, you know, abandoned. It's not a good word. Until the time that she who is in labor gives birth. So we've been, as it was talking about, we've been cast out of the land. We've been being chastised, all of humanity, in the church age, having to learn our lesson, very difficult lesson, not to get involved with Baal worship, rooting that out of the people, thresh, work this out of the people, whatever you have to do to get it where people will not do Baal worship anymore. And then we'll have that have to be chastened until the time she who is in labor gives birth, until that beautiful sign in the heavens. No doubt, this is the day we've been waiting for, literally, since Micah described this for 2,700 years ago. We've been waiting on this day. Isn't that amazing? Here we are. What a blessing to live in this day. Anything else you want to add to that, Miss Tammy?
Well, this day, even though it's 2017, it has been a day. The 7 years of things that have happened since.
Yes, then. Thank you. Yes, very good point.
More to come. Right. And
Right. Yes. Oh. And so really, and I thank you for saying that, because I talk about that again, as far as the 7 years, I talk about that more in the book End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace that I was mm-hmm. talking about here. And you can also listen to the audiobook if it's easier for you to do that. Let me go back to that. So yeah. So in Daniel chapter 9, it talks about there being this one, quote, week, which is a 7 year period. And here, this is it. This is this battle that we have been, that started 7 years ago. Now, it just completed the 7 years last year. And so we're in that. I mean, immediately after that, President Trump said on the Day of Atonement, he said, he called it the Golden Age. That's when he came up with that amazing name, which I believe is another name for the Millennial Kingdom. Okay, so then with all this year, he says, I promise you, he said this multiple times, I promise you, this is the Golden Age. And so I found it very interesting that we're having, you know, we're here at the Feast of Trumpets, and all of this is happening, exposing the ones at the top who've been doing so much evil. And so we will see. But I feel very sure that we're at the door. I just posted something. Did you guys see that post I did this morning? For those of you who are not familiar with my social media, it's right over here, right here on melissaredpill.com. The social media is right there. And I posted, I think I just put it on Telegram so far, but about this beautiful door. There was a door, and they opened this door, and it was beautiful. It's just beautiful out there. And so that's where we are, at the door. And so the Lord has helped us to know that we are at the door of this beautiful day. All right.
Okay.
Yes. Anything else you want to add before we go on to the next one?
We're good.
Thank you. That's a great point. All right. So number, and y'all tell me, I'll look at the chat and see if there's anything else you wanted to add to that one. All right. So number 13.
What are we being promised in the next passage? Then the rest of his brothers will return to the children of Israel. He shall stand and shall shepherd in the strength of Yahweh, in the majesty of the name of Yahweh his God. They will live, for then he will be great to the ends of the earth. He will be our peace when Assyria invades our land. And when he marches through our fortresses, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 leaders of men.
Right. Well, I've got the answer in there. I'm not supposed to, but uh-oh.
So we all got it.
Right. Right. So, yeah, for those of you who did your homework,
we know that we're going to win.
That one, right. That one was already there for you, right? But the Lord is leading us out of exile. That beautiful passage. Mm-hmm. He's leading us like in the days of Egypt, but even better. And mm-hmm. we will live peacefully, undisturbed, because we'll have truly good leaders. You know, mm-hmm. it's just so exciting. Now, we're seeing right now all the wrestling that, for example, RFK is having to do. And he's trying, you know, he's working and he will accomplish, you know, what the Lord has put him up there for, to make America healthy again. And but they are fighting hard. They spent $2 million. I talked about that on one of my videos this week. They spent $2 million to try to destroy him, and it's not going to help, you know, and Big Pharma is flipping out. Because this is big money. And not only the money, but it's also their way to keep us sick. When you're sick, you can't, as RFK has said many times, you can't think of anything except for trying to get well. That's all you can focus on. So that's one of the reasons they've made us sick, and also to take us out. But we're going to have all these wonderful shepherds. All these, you know, whether it's about ones who, you know, run the financial system, like, you know, I think Scott Bessent is doing such an amazing job. You know, all these wonderful leaders who will make sure this is done right. Now, it's funny sometimes when you think about President Trump, you know, and says at late 8 leaders of men. I think that one is like President Trump, the one who's leading all of them, that he sometimes does things that I don't quite understand. I think even like this TikTok thing, it's like to get for our free speech, it looks like he's trying to get TikTok in the hands of some people that are like, I don't think these people are really good for our free speech. And we know that the free speech has been there on TikTok. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, yes, okay, I will say this. I was banned from TikTok. I've been banned again here like, I don't know, a month ago. But the point is, there's been a lot of truth that has come out on TikTok. So I think it's probably more has been has come out on TikTok than would happen under some of these people who are trying to buy it. And so I'm like, what are you doing? I just trust the plan. It's been, the finalization is delayed until December 16th. Right when they think, oh, we're just about to get it and we're going to have control over that, you know, TikTok. He's like, oh, you know, we got to wait till this and that, you know. He's just playing them, in my opinion. He's playing them like a fiddle. Anyway, we're going to have beautiful, amazing days because we'll have good leaders that we can trust. Isn't that beautiful? It goes back to Revelation 20. It says, you know, the Lord has given thrones to those who are worthy, who will rule and reign for 1,000 years. Beautiful. So if you're looking for, you know, I'm just so thankful. The Lord has helped me to find some wonderful, true remedies, like what RFK has been talking about. Go to my remedies page, freedomforce.live/remedies, and you can find out the true way to heal a leaky gut, the true way to help with your the antioxidant, you know, all these ways that you do this, the true way to cleanse a spike protein. Hello? If you have family members who have, you know, taken, you know what, the jab, you know, the true antibiotic that doesn't kill off your good bacteria, the true, you know, methylene blue, which is has so many wonderful things. I can't even go into all of it. You know, if you remember RFK taking that, we saw him taking that on the plane. I'm like, what is he taking? And all the bad guys are like, no, this is bad. This is what's so amazing, that we have a wonderful ruler, wonderful leader who is leading us to true health. I mean, look at him. He is the picture of health, right? And so, yeah, so that tons of PDFs that are over there for free for you to read about it. All right. So That is the wonderful promise in Micah chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Now, who are these Assyrians who invade us? Okay, it's talking about the globalist cabal. Who are the remnant who are taking their place among the nations? Go ahead, Miss Tammy.
Okay, they will rule the land of Assyria with a sword and the land of Nimrod in its gates. He will deliver us from the Assyrian when he invades our land and when he marches within our border. The remnants of Jacob will be among many peoples like dew from Yahweh, like showers on the grass, that don't wait for man nor wait for the sons of men. The remnant of Jacob will be among the nations, among many peoples, like a lion among the animals of the forest, like a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he goes through, treads down and tears in pieces, and there is no one to deliver. Let your hand be lifted up above your adversaries, and let all of your enemies be cut off.
Yes, amen, amen. Mm-hmm. Right, so who is this talking about? Who are the remnant who takes their place among the nations? The remnant of Jacob will be among the nations, among many peoples, like a lion among the animals of the forest, like a young lion among the flocks of the sheep. Okay, go ahead.
That's us.
That's right. That's us. Exactly.
Patriots.
Yes. And we're going to rip and we're going to tear. It says tread them down and tear them in pieces so no one can deliver. Now, again, in the first fulfillment, always remember, in the first fulfillment, it was talking about the Assyrian army was going to come in and rip them all out of there. And it wouldn't have any mercy. And this is why Jonah hated the Assyrians and didn't want to go and preach to them. But, you know, they were being used by the Lord to remove them from their evil kings who got them to do Baal worship. Okay, if you look at it from God's standpoint, they had to get out of there. You know, they were being led to kill their children. I mean, it's just outrageous, right? So now in today's fulfillment, it's talking about that we are basically the Assyrian army to destroy the Baal worshipers, which is the Satanists. Did you guys see Putin and Kirill Dmitriev posted this week that Russia is destroying the Satanists? Did you guys see that? I'm telling you, that's what we're doing. They're ripping and tearing. We're treading them down. You let your hand be lifted up against your adversaries. Let all the enemies be cut off. Amazing day. Never seen a post like that before. Did you guys see that one? That was amazing. Amazing. What a day. What a deal. I love that Kirill Dmitriev. Amazing patriot and giving us a lot of encouragement. All right. Is this big enough for you guys to see? Oh, maybe I should make it a little tiny bit bigger.
A little small. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. So now, what did these next verses confirm about who is leading this battle? Micah chapter 5.
It will happen in that day, says Yahweh, that I will cut off your horses from among you and will destroy your chariots. I will cut off the cities of your land and will tear down all your strongholds. I will destroy witchcraft from your hand. You shall have no soothsayers. I will cut off your engraved images and your pillars from among you, and you shall no more worship the work of your hands. I will uproot your Asherah poles from among you, and I will destroy your cities. I will execute vengeance in anger and wrath on the nations that didn't listen.
Amen. Amen. Mm. All this demon worship gone. You and I are just normal people. We don't involve ourselves in any of this. We're like, is this even real? Well, it's very real. And this is how they've run the world. This is how they've run the world. Anyone who's awakened, they realize that they run the world based upon these basically Asherah poles, where they commit these horrific atrocities underground. And I shared a video this week where this young man was basically red pilling Charlie Kirk about what they do underground, and you could tell he'd never heard of such a thing, and he realized, and even said this on a later video. He said he had to do a lot more research, something like that. And so we realize now that the world has been run on this satanic witchcraft. I know that you guys don't have anything to do with that. You think, a lot of people think it's baloney. It's real. And the ones who are in power use it because they know that's their stranglehold on the ones in power. They have these, I'm sure everyone here knows, the Epstein list, right? That if all these videos, they say, oh, we don't have them and all that. Well, that's the insurance that they control all these puppet leaders by all this, the soothsaying and all the evil that they've done. So all those things that they've done to do this evil, to control the world, the CEOs and the media moguls and the politicians, torn down. All those strongholds will be torn down. No more witchcraft, no more soothsaying, no more Asherah poles where they're hurting children, no more of these evil, vile things that they're doing. The Lord will execute vengeance upon them. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And so it says, my question was, who is leading this battle and who will win?
The Lord himself.
Amen.
Is leading the battle.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. He himself is destroying them. And we get to fight alongside him, but he is the one who's uprooting them. And he's executing vengeance, his vengeance against them. And it says the nations, again, don't think of nations. It says, I will execute vengeance and anger and wrath on the nations that didn't listen. Don't think of that as far as like Italy or France or whatever. Think of this nation of evil, okay? Babylon, okay? Mm-hmm. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about what a nation like what you would think of. You always have to look at the word nation in context. And actually in, I don't know if it's Hebrew, whatever, the word is Nazis. Okay, that's what nations, how you pronounce it. All right, so bottom line, he's going to execute vengeance upon evildoers. And that's a big problem for those who are interpreting these passages. They're looking at nations, but that's not what it's talking about. They're looking at nations like what, you know, Italy and France, and that's, you know, or Iran or whatever. And they're missing the point of who the Lord is executing vengeance on. Makes me crazy. All right. So that's, we know what the truth is. His vengeance is not on a quote nation. It's on the true evildoers who do this thing we were just reading, the Asherah poles and all that. All right. Anything else? Okay, all right, number 16. Yeah, I get excited. All right, go ahead, 16.
See how quickly the people's thoughts are perverted? What do they say they would offer in sacrifice to the Lord? How did he reply? How shall I come before Yahweh and bow myself before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will Yahweh be pleased with thousands of rams, with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my disobedience, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. What does Yahweh require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?
Okay, this is the verse that you've likely heard of all the verses in the book of Micah. This is probably it, and it's... To be honest, it's always taken out of context. Every time I've ever heard it, it's, you know, you've heard the verse before. You know, what does the Lord require of you, O man, but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? And that's a wonderful passage, but it really needs to be discussed in context. And the context is pretty dark. It's pretty dark. Because these people had been so deceived and tricked into thinking that they should offer their children. I mean, that's what it says right here. How shall I come before Yahweh? How can I go before the God of the world, the most exalted God? How shall I do that? Well, should I bring him a burnt offering? Maybe calves? Should I bring him a calf? How about if I brought thousands of rams? Would he be pleased? Would that satisfy for the sin of my soul, for him to purge my sin? What can I do? Maybe if I brought my firstborn. They literally had been deceived into thinking that that's what, you know, and we've heard about this. We've heard about these cultures that would offer a, you know, a virgin girl or whatever. And you're like, these people are so backward and so, you know, what? Well, this is demonic, you know, clearly. This is, they were deceived into basically doing, when they thought they were worshiping God, they were really worshiping Satan. And they were just completely deceived. It says, you know, should I give the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And the Lord says, has he shown you, O man, what is good? Haven't I told you what is good? What does the Lord require of you? All he asks you to do is to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I'm not, no, I don't need rivers of oil. I don't need thousands of rams. I don't need all of that. You know, I need you to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So did you guys know that that was in the, that passage right there, that was in the passage? That was what was just before the passage. That's what sparked for the Lord to say that. So now, of course, you know, that's what we need. The Lord is asking us to do is to walk humbly. Now, I will say this. Of course, the Father did offer his Son. He did offer his Son. Because, of course, our Lord Jesus is the only one whose blood can expiate sin, can remove sin. So, you know, the enemy knows all these things. They know the Bible. They tremble because they know it. Believing is more than just assenting to certain facts. The demons know the facts. They know the facts. They know this, and they always twist it. They always twist it. Because our Lord Jesus laid down his life out of his great love for us to save humanity. And actually, you know, Abraham didn't understand. He was his and his son Isaac. They were willing. If that was what God's plan was, they were willing to say, "Okay, well, I'll lay down my life." But the problem with Isaac is he can't take away sin because he was a sinner too. And the thing is, only our Lord Jesus is perfect. Only his blood can remove sin. So, you know, but the enemy always twists and perverts what God has set up. And they say, "Oh, see, that's what God wants you to do." You know. Of course, this was obviously many, many years before our Lord Jesus came on the scene. But the enemies, the demons, know what God's plan was. They had already figured that out. All right. So now, I don't think they had exactly a complete understanding, or they would have never taken him to the cross. But they clearly thought that child sacrifice was, you know, the way to go. That's what they're trying to do to destroy humanity. All right. Anything else you want to add to that one?
Well, just, you know, the firstborn joke, that's just amazing how a lot of people say that, well, what do you want, my firstborn, as a joke, not even tying it to the Bible, and pretty much everything you can tie back to some verse in the Bible.
Wow, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah.
That just kept coming to my mind, as you know, that's something people just say flippantly now, but wow.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, right. Very good point. Right. Thank you for that. All right. So I haven't even thought about that. All right. So I'll keep looking to see if anybody else has some other items to share to add. But go ahead with number 17. I'll read the beginning. In 720 BC, the Assyrian army besieged Baal worshiping Israel and took the Israelites captive. Right. We know, we've talked about that many times. They were all hauled out of the northern tribes of Israel. In our day, patriots worldwide are the army taking the corrupt New World Order captive. That's what we're doing. We are the Assyrian army. What are some specific passages that point us to the cabal globalists today? So as she's reading, what are some specific passages that point us to the cabal globalists today? Go ahead.
Okay. Yahweh's voice calls to the city, and wisdom fears your name. Listen to the rod and he who appointed it. Are there yet treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and a short ephah that is accursed? Shall I tolerate dishonest scales and a bag of deceitful weights? Her rich men are full of violence. Her inhabitants speak lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their speech. Therefore, I also have struck you with a grievous wound. I have made you desolate because of your sins. You shall eat, but not be satisfied. Your hunger will be within you. You will store up, but not save. And that which you save, I will give up to the sword. You will sow, but won't reap.
You will tread the olives, but won't anoint yourself with oil, and crush grapes, but won't drink the wine. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of Ahab's house. You walk in their counsels, that I may make you a ruin, and your inhabitants a hissing. You will bear the reproach of my people.
All right. Very good. Very good. Thank you. All right. So what are some specific passages that point us to the cabal globalists today? You want to list a couple?
Sure. The treasures of wickedness in the houses of the wicked.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. And all this dishonest scales.
Dishonest scales. Right. And deceitful weights. Mm-hmm. Yes.
They trick us and they steal from us in a thousand different ways to make our money worthless and to make, mm-hmm. To tax us to mm-hmm. everything's taxed on taxed. Right. And so they do this. Oh, and they have just this clear explanation. Well, this is why we have to do it. And basically your home doesn't belong to you. It really, they just tax it until it has no value left because they just tax it to death. All these ways that they have tricked us with the things that they put in our food. I mean, and the things that they in the medicine, just on and on and on. Their tongue is deceitful in their speech. Everything you hear on the media, it's just lie upon lie upon lie. And so this is what the Lord says, I'll make you have a grievous wound for all that you have done. There will be a day when you will have a grievous wound for all this that you've done to humanity. This is where we are in the timeline of history. He says, you will have hunger within you and you will store up, but you won't save. That which you save, I'll give to the sword. All that they've taken from us, as the Lord says, has been stored up for the righteous, and that's what we're going to see. You'll tread the olives, but you won't have enough to anoint yourself with oil. And they followed the statutes of Omri and the works of Ahab. Remember Ahab and Jezebel? They had done led the people to do the Baal worship, and so this is the problem. You are doing the very same things that they did 2,700 years ago. Again, most of us thought this was done, that they didn't do this anymore. Now we realize that they still have been doing all of these evil things, like Omri and Ahab. And we're going to have, all their inhabitants will be a hissing, like, just that kind of thing. We're just like, oh, these people are evil, pure evil. The whole world is onto it. That's what's happening with, what's going on TikTok, that the children, the youth realize what's going on in Gaza, and they are hissing, and they know, they've known that, the future generations are not going to be, what is the word, they're not going to take the believe the lies that our generation believed, because we just didn't, we didn't have the TikTok. We didn't see what was going on. All we saw that was going on was on the mainstream media. We didn't realize what the truth was about Gaza, and we just believed what we were told, but not them, because they've seen it, and they're not going back. And so that's why, they're trying to get control of the narrative, and it's too late. And they know that this generation is lost to them. All right, and you will bear the reproach of many people. That's where we are. Right? I mean, this is clear. Everybody knows these people are pure evil. Not everybody, but that's really what's going on right now. A lot of people are realizing, hey, something else is going on. These people are pure evil. If they would just kill a wonderful patriot right in front of everybody and then celebrate it. All right. So now look at how Micah 7 describes these times compared to what Jesus said in Matthew 10, 34 and 39 through 39. What are they both saying? All right. So now Micah 7.
Misery is mine. Indeed, I am like one who gathers the summer fruits as gleanings of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat. My soul desires to eat the early fig. The godly man has perished out of the earth, and there is no one upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net. Their hands are on that which is evil to do it diligently. The ruler and the judge ask for a bribe. The powerful man dictates the evil desire of his soul. Thus they conspire together.
The best of them is like a briar. The most upright is worse than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman, even your visitation, has come. Now is the time of their confusion. Don't trust in a neighbor. Don't put confidence in a friend. With a woman lying in your embrace, be careful of the words of your mouth. For the son dishonors the father. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house.
Thank you. Great. That's awesome. Thank you. All right. So he was talking about how he's just sick because all these people are so pure evil. And he's like, who do you trust? And to be honest, that's how we felt, right? It's been hard to know who to trust. And even this week, you know, we see people coming out and I've been saying it, you know, about some of these, and maybe some of the ones I haven't even said anything about, and it's become obvious that they are not true patriots. They've exposed themselves, and now we realize that they were just, you know, tools to trick us and deceive us. And so, yeah, it's really hard to know until they, you know, reveal themselves. So he's saying, don't trust a neighbor. Don't put your confidence in a friend. Don't put your confidence in someone who's posting on social media. You just can't. Even the woman lying in your embrace, even though, you know, your wife or your husband. That's what it says. You know, be careful with the words of your mouth. Be careful what you say, because they just very well could be an enemy and use it to destroy you. That is so frustrating. It's so hard. And the wonderful truth about the golden age is that there'll be no more people who lie. There would be no more deceivers in the golden age. No more deception for 1,000 years. Cannot wait. I've got to get my book done so you guys can see all these wonderful promises. It's just so fun to see all that. He says, you know, the son dishonors the father. The daughter rises against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Who knew that Jesus would? I didn't know this. In Matthew 10, Jesus was quoting this passage, basically. And he was saying, don't think I came to send peace on the earth. I didn't come to send peace, but a sword. And so, okay, I'm just going to tell you right now, there are people who are saying, oh, we need everybody to get along and everyone to calm down. And you know, because of, you know, we need to all come together with what Charlie, you know, he died. Well, the honest truth is, the only way you have peace is around the truth. You only have peace when you have unity around the truth. If there's some, if the people who are trying to get everybody to just not say, you know, don't say anything and don't expose any lies, well, it's because they're trying to cover up something. You know, and I think that Candace Owens is doing a really good job trying to expose what's the truth about some of this. And a lot of people are trying to get her to be quiet. And I don't think she should be quiet, in my humble opinion. I think that she should, if there's something that's wrong, she needs to expose it. And I appreciate it. She's very, very courageous and willing to take all this fire for it. You know, and there are just a lot of, you know, what they've really taught us in the modern day church is just peace. Everybody get along and don't worry about, you know, anything that, you know, someone might have done. Let's just all get along. Our job is to tell the truth. We are the truth tellers, as Revelation 14 says. We must tell the truth. For example, here I am telling the truth about what the truth is about end times. And maybe some people might not really appreciate but the view that I have on it. Well, I have to tell the truth. I can't do anything else. Well, just be at peace with all the ones who are teaching rapture. I'm like, I can't teach that. I'm be at peace with someone, but I can't teach it. Anyway, so this is... We really have to have truth. And if there are people who are trying to silence people from just telling their opinion, that's not honoring Charlie. His whole thing was, let's talk about these things. Let's air all of this and we'll have to come to an agree. You know, maybe we'll agree, maybe we won't agree, but at least we'll air all these things out. Instead of trying to silence someone, okay? Anyway. So it says in verse 35, for I came to set a man at odds against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Why? Because we have to get to the truth. We have to get to the truth. And many times, maybe the daughter knows something that the mother doesn't know. Or maybe the daughter-in-law, you know, mother-in-law knows something that the daughter-in-law doesn't know. And there's a disagreement there. And they're maybe, you know, have butt heads over some of these things. Hello, anybody here had that? We all have. And he didn't come to bring peace. If it was peace, in the enemy's way of thinking of peace is just everybody do what we say, everyone agree with what we say, and do what we say, and then agree to take the jab or whatever it is. But sometimes a man has to be at odds against his father and say, I'm not taking the jab. I'm not doing it, right? And so trying to tell the truth. I literally had someone this week, I'm thinking, oh, this person's taking the same horrible, evil medicine, you know, and he's got cancer. And I'm like, I asked my husband, I said, should I go and talk to him and try to tell him a different option? He says, he won't listen. It's just so just very discouraging when you see someone and you're like, don't do it. This is what Jesus is trying to say. He wants us to stand up and speak the truth and to stand on the truth. So he who loves father more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me isn't worthy of me. You have proven in this day that you love the Lord and that you are standing with him. And even if someone doesn't like it, even if they don't want to be your friend anymore or they don't talk to you as a family member, you're like, I have to stand right here. I'm not trying to separate from you. I'm trying for us to have unity. But if you refuse to have unity and because of my beliefs, I still have to stand right here on this truth, right? He who seeks his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it. This is what our Lord Jesus was actually quoting this, right? This passage from Micah. And so, you know, we are in the situation where we're trying to save humanity. But if we don't speak the truth, we could literally lose it. Not just my life, not just your life, but the whole of humanity. If we say, oh, we can just take jabs and jabs and jabs and jabs and jabs and jabs. Well, that's the end of humanity, right? So we have to speak the truth. I just praise God for all these wonderful truth tellers. All right. Anything else you want to add on that, Miss Tammy? Well, all right. All right. Now, what is the overall message the Lord is giving us, keeps giving us in Micah 7 through 10? Go ahead.
As for me, I look to the Lord for help. I wait confidently for God to save me, and my God will certainly hear me. Do not gloat over me, my enemies, for though I fall, I will rise again. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. I will be patient as the Lord punishes me, for I have sinned against him. But after that, he will take up my case and give me justice for all I have suffered from my enemies. The Lord will bring me into the light, and I will see his righteousness. Then my enemies will see that the Lord is on my side. They will be ashamed that they taunted me, saying, so where is the Lord, that God of yours? With my own eyes, I will see their downfall. They will be trampled like mud in the streets.
Woohoo! How about that? How do you like that, girls and boys? Right? Don't gloat over me. Do not gloat over me, my enemies. Though I fall, I will rise. Even though I sit in darkness, even though all this baloney, we've been canceled and hated and called names and even put in prison like our precious Tina Peters, all these, you know, it's just, but the Lord will be my light. The Lord is with us. No matter what's going on, we know the Lord is with us and he will see us through. He will see us through and he will give us justice for everything we've suffered. Amen. This beautiful, beautiful promise. And, you know, they've taunted us saying, oh, see, look at you. God doesn't care anything about you. He doesn't have any power to do anything against us. They're going to find out. They're fixing to find out. They're in the middle of finding out. And he says, with my own eyes, we will see their downfall. With my own eyes, they'll be trampled like mud in the streets. We're going to see it. We're going to see it. Beautiful. We're seeing some of it. We're seeing some of it. But we're going to see more. We're going to see more. We're going to see the entire thing come crashing down. And I really do think that we're right. You know, saving Israel for last is really the keystone. Because once that comes down, the whole thing comes down. All right, number 20.
Okay, what will happen to the wicked and what will happen to the righteous? A day to build your walls. In that day, he will extend your boundary. In that day, they will come to you from Assyria and the cities of Egypt, and from Egypt even to the river, and from sea to sea and mountain to mountain. Yet the land will be desolate because of those who dwell therein, for the fruit of their doings. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your heritage, who dwell by themselves in a forest. Let them feed in the middle of the fertile pasture land, in Bashra and Gilead, in the days of old. As in the days of your coming out of the land of Egypt, I will show them marvelous things. The nations will see and be ashamed of all their might. They will lay their hands on their mouth. Their ears will be deaf. They will lick the dust like a serpent. Like crawling things of the earth, they will come trembling out of their dens. They will come with fear to Yahweh our God, and will be afraid because of you, who is a God like you, who pardons iniquity and passes over the disobedience of the remnants of his heritage. He doesn't retain his anger forever, because he delights in loving kindness. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old, deaf to everything around them.
Amen. Amen. So this is it. This is, there's no doubt at the end of Micah, after all that he had been through, he knew the Lord would give us victory. And you know, that was 2,700 years ago that he was looking for this. And here we are, and we're seeing this day happen before our eyes. Look in verse 16, the nations, again, Nazis, all right, Nazis, will see and be ashamed of all their might. They'll be, in another passage it talks about, they'll be embarrassed. They thought they were so high and mighty, and their power is just, it shows that it's nothing against the Lord, right? When the Lord comes to destroy them, they will lay their hand on their mouth. They're like, oh no, right? Their ears will be deaf. They will lick the dust like a serpent, like crawling things of the earth. They will come trembling out of their dens. Another verse, passage says, out of their holes, because they have to come out to face judgment. They have to come out and meet the Lord for judgment. Isn't that amazing? They will come with fear to Yahweh our God. They will be afraid of you. Who's a God like you? Who pardons iniquity and passes over the disobedience of the remnant of his heritage. And so this is the difference. Our ancestors have sinned against the Lord. Again, they were literally involved in Baal worship. We've had our own issues that we've had, you know, in our country. But I think that the issue is that we haven't tried to get people to do evil. I think that our issue is we've been tricked into it. And deceived into it and led into it, but we weren't knowingly, you know, and our forefathers were not knowingly doing this. The Lord is pardoned their sin because they, as Paul said, he did it ignorantly in unbelief. So is ignorance an excuse? Well, in one sense, yes, because the Lord, it's a big difference between someone doing it knowingly, mm-hmm. on purpose, and someone who just is tricked. It's a huge difference. And so the Lord pardons our iniquity and the disobedience of the remnant. Remember, the remnant are the scattered tribes, all of us scattered all over the world. He doesn't retain his anger forever, and he delights in loving kindness. And all this that we've been through since Micah wrote this 2,700 years ago was to chasten humanity, to purge the evil out, and to get us ready to rise up against them. And that's where we are. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Amen. He'll give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham. In other words, we are the children of Abraham. We have the same faith as Abraham. Many of us are his progeny. Many of us are not. Really, all that matters is, are we his children by faith? That we have the same faith as Abraham. Before I go, I'm going to show you my ex post that I did. I think it's right here. That's pinned at the top. I posted this. I'm going to go ahead and share this with you, because I talked about saving Israel for last. So this week, I'll say share this post, please, and like, do all that. Hang on real quick. Let me type this in. I'm going to share that. There, bam. Songbird, you know what to do. Put that in the comments. So I was talking about who is Israel and having the faith, the same faith as Abraham, because they've really been fighting back against this. There, a lot of people are trying to find out what is this whole deal about Israel right now. And Kirk Cameron posted a video, and go watch that video, and I think you'll really like the wonderful truth that I explained there. And I talk about that more in the book End Times and a Thousand Years of Peace. This is the end times for them. All right. I think that's everything. That's everything. Don't forget, you can actually listen to the audiobooks right here on melissaredpill.com. You can also just see all of these videos, and it'll help you to piece this together. And there are our study guides. This is where you can find all of the videos where we've done all the lessons on the End Times book, as well as this one right here on the one about the major clues for minor prophets. So we've got next week, like I said, it's going to be the big one on Zechariah. Just study and I'll let you know how many weeks it's going to take. We'll see how many weeks it takes. There's the audiobook right there. Another place to get to the audiobook. You can get a sample right there. And then, let's see, that one's the, yeah. Anyway, so then also some memes that you can share to help people see the wonderful truth about end times, so they will come out from under the bed. All right. Is there anything else, Miss Tammy? Okay, good deal. All right, so like I said, don't forget to go and check that, make sure that you guys have the remedies page. I'll pop this over here because we need to get the true healing. So definitely check into that freedomforce.live/remedies, freedomforce.live/health. I'm going to try to really make some videos to explain some of these things. Someone asked me, and I just didn't get a chance to do that this week. So I'm going to hopefully get that done this week. All right. Is there, I guess that's everything. Let's pray. Would you lead us in prayer before we go?
Heavenly Father, we do love you. We just give this day back to you. We thank you for all the things that we learned today, Lord. And we just thank you for all you keep bringing to our attention. We just ask that we just keep our eyes and ears open to all that you have going on, and that we just be messengers of everything that you have for us to tell the world right now, that we can just feel it, Lord. We just our hearts are bursting with all that's going on, and we are so happy to be a part of this. We thank you for Melly bringing the message, and we thank you, Lord, for all you're doing on earth today, all of earth, and we just are glad to be a part of it. We're glad that we're seeing the Bible open before our eyes, and we're seeing the dual prophecy, and we just ask, Lord, that you continue to enlighten us. Mm-hmm. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you guys. I'm so glad we get a chance to be together. And don't forget, I'll see you tomorrow morning. Lots to talk about as far as what all has happened this week. Definitely check into some of my other videos that I did this week. Let me see if I can... I got to move us. I've got us all big here. I can't even show anything else on the screen. But yeah, see, these are the videos that we did this week. I talked about, I talked with Tom Renz yesterday. Definitely check into that one, because he was talking about, from a legal standpoint, some of these things, the Smith-Mundt Act, very, very insightful information. I'm just so glad I've got this amazing man who's such a great brainiac on all these legal issues. And then also the election security, they did another video about that, what we can do, all of us putting our hand, our shoulder to the wheel. This one right here is talking about what happened to Charlie. That's really breaking down, what is happening with Israel, exposing Israel. All right, I think that's everything. Okay, we're going to jet. Love you guys. We'll be on the chat for just a little bit longer. And that's it. Okay. We love you. And we'll talk to you later.